Blog Talk Radio.
Put on your Gideon suit. I'm Gideon warrior. Hey, put on your Gideon suit.
Well, sorry about that, everybody. I want to thank everybody for joining us for another episode of Blog Talk Radio. This is your host, Five Smooth Stones. I was going to play another song, and as I prepare for the show, so I do apologize for that, but I do want y'all to check, this is the song I meant to play, okay? Check this out. You hear it all the time, but the message is very strong, and that is I want y'all to listen. So check this out.
Listen for the Holy One. His words will bring.
what I was trying to say earlier. Listen, that was the song I was trying to find. I got the wrong song. And not only that, but it didn't play well. So anyway, Blog Talk Radio has introduced this new switchboard, and it's not working very well for me anyway. So anyway, glad you joined us. And hopefully you all got the little show advertisement or the show description, and you are tuned in to hear, I'm hoping, one of the best blogs I've done so far. I have a brother that should be calling us in a little bit that is going to be our guest on tonight, Brother Joseph Johnson. And so we'll talk about him in a little bit, but let me just go ahead and open up the show here. Again, want to thank everybody for tuning in. I don't take your time lightly. I don't take your time lightly. I value the people that take time out of their night to spend. And so I try to bring on people that have serious information that's going to help us all not only have a better relationship with the Most High, but help us to understand what's going on around us, that we won't be slaves to the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of darkness is alive and well, and so is the kingdom of light. And so we're trying to, here at Five Smooth Stone, encourage listeners to go with the light, okay, and do not give strength or power or energy and very little glory, if possible, to the kingdom of darkness. So that's why we call this the New World Order Watch Society. New World Order Watch Society. I used to call it the One World, but I realize most people know this by the New World Order. So we call ourselves the New World Order Watch Society. So welcome to the society. And when I say society, we just mean a group of people that are talking about this New World Order, what they're trying to do. And as you know, we've already talked about this many weeks now, New World Order is nothing more than a name, nickname, phrase for a very powerful, wicked, wicked kingdom. Very powerful, very wicked. So I just hope everybody has had a wonderful day, and I don't just mean that just to be talking, passing the time. I really hope that your day was productive and that you was able to accomplish all that you plan today, and hopefully that was a spiritual things that you had planned. But anyway, let me do this. If you can just give me 1 second, I want to make one thing. Make sure we did one thing here. Okay, all right, we got that done. All right, so everybody, I'm going to play something else for us while I'm waiting on the guest to call, because I'm literally going to give him this whole show. I'm going to let him talk from, well, as much as possible, because I talked to this brother already, and as you know, some of y'all have heard Brother Johnson call. We'll call him Brother Johnson, Joseph Johnson. You've heard him speaking. You've heard the information that the Most High have given him why he was in prison. I guess he was in prison for 15 years. I don't think y'all knew that part of it, but he was. And the Most High began to lead this brother to a lot of different directions. And, I mean, he spent his time while incarcerated doing what a lot of brothers and sisters should be doing, and that is learning who they are, whose they are, what's going on, and that's what he did. And I can't wait to have him on and just let y'all hear for yourself what this brother have to say. So I just want to play one more little thing for you while I'm waiting him to call, and he should be on the line shortly, okay? But check this out while we're waiting on our brother Joseph Johnson to call us, okay?
Come on, choir.
Come on, let me show you the holy of holies. Come on.
the knots of battlefield. Open your ears to this prophecy. You probably didn't think it would come to be. Come with me to the most holy city, Jerusalem, we will live righteously. Together we walk in victory. The promised land is the right place to be. All praise to the God of Jacob. To walk in this path, you better wake up. We are there through this verse and made up. And we lead you to the Holy One that saves us. So come with me to the Holy of Holies. Here is this harmony before thee. Together we will study for the more. For our minds will be sealed with Yah's laws. Woo! Take a journey, y'all. Take a journey, y'all. Come on!
That song. We do believe one day Most High is going to call a remnant, a small portion of his people. And this is all relevant to tonight's topic, because tonight's topic, we're talking about many different things. Many different things we're talking about. We're talking about a lot of things that the Most High is going to be doing. And of course, one of them is resurrecting. He's already resurrecting. Is chosen, and we're not talking about the people that reside in Israel, unfortunately. We, those of us that study scriptures, know that the Most High got mad at his people and scattered them throughout the four corners. Israel vastly is in exile. So I always like that song, because truly, one of these days, it's already happening, folks. Many millions of people are discovering that they are indeed Israel, because they are living out the prophecies in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26. And this is the only way on the planet we can know for sure who is Israel. We don't go by DNA. So, like I say, the truth is often stranger than fiction. So tonight we are going to be talking to a brother that I believe that have some truth. Now, I don't agree with anybody 100% of the time, but I can tell you this, those people that seek the truth, that don't mind being persecuted for the truth, that sometimes is that lonely, got to walk that lonely road when you walk in the lane of truth, you know, because oftentimes, like I say, the truth is stranger than fiction. It don't mean you have to seek to be strange, but if you seek truth, you're going to oftentimes be misunderstood and be looked at as an oddball, and sometimes even a problem. Oh, but it's just you have to keep pursuing
And who is truth? Who is truth? Is it a person? Is it a revelation? Well, this is how I would answer that while we're waiting on Brother Johnson to give us a call. Truth is, first and foremost, whatever the Most High say it is. Whatever he say is reality, that is reality. Let everybody else and everything else and every concept and every ideology be a lie. And we have to rise to whatever he say is real. We are who he say we are. We possess who we possess what he says we possess. The world system got their own list of people that they think is rich and wealthy, and the Most High has his list. The world system have their own list of who they say is wise and smart and brilliant and intelligent. And, you know, they have their own list. But the Most High's list might look a little different. Many times he's chosen the foolish things of the world to deal with just to confound the wise. So tonight we call the show One World Watch Society. We're going to be changing to the New World Order Watch Society, because most people know it by that and not by One World Watch Society. So we'll change that. But One World Government, One World Order, New World Order, Illuminati, Secret Society, they're all the same people. It really doesn't matter what name you put on it. As long as you know that there is a kingdom, there is people, there is a real force out there that is no match for any nation, much stronger, even than the United States, stronger than the European Union, stronger than China, stronger than Japan. These people rule our planet. JFK talked about it. Some people think that's why he was killed. But he has a very clear video on YouTube, audio rather, where he describes the same people, powerful. They exist. They run our banks. They run the media. Nobody, no army can put these people down. They command armies like little children, and they seek to enslave humanity. Why? Why would they do such? Because they are servants of Lucifer or Satan. And Satan has an ancient old grudge or old unfinished business ever since he was kicked out of the heavens. Kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light are at odds. If you don't believe it, if you don't believe in spiritual warfare, my friend, let me be the first one to tell you, you might as well start wearing shackles, because you are already captive. Spiritual warfare is real. Everything we talk about tonight first starts in the spirit. Money is nothing. Money is a joke. Before the concept of money was, when it was a baby and it hadn't even grew to what it is today. These powers I'm talking about exist. Before fame even became what it is today, these powers exist. Okay? Hierarchies, royal this and royal that. Before these people even walk the earth, these ancient powers exist. Before there was even civilization as we know it, these ancient powers exist. We're talking about the spiritual world, spiritual warfare, and what is being played out there. Just look around you, people. Everything you can see, taste, touch, and smell. We're going to get into this lesson, into this interview here in a second. But just look around you. Everything you can see, taste, touch, and smell was first in somebody's mind. It might even be a late invention. Maybe they procrastinated and finally said, well, let me go ahead and invent this table. And you're looking at a table. Let me go ahead and just throw this computer together. And you're looking at a computer. You're not even looking at real, true power. You're looking at procrastination products that folks thought of. Eventually, they got it out of their mind into the real world, and now we use it. But is that real power? What's real power? What is living that wasn't made and wasn't formed and was here before time? You know, Father Time. Let's talk about Father Time. Somebody real old. What has been around since Father Time, time itself? Folks, we're talking about true, authentic, absolute power tonight. Truth. Truth. And it starts in the spiritual realm. We're going to deal definitely in the natural realm, so don't think I'm going to go spooky on you. But I just want y'all to first understand, we've already talked about on this blog on Thursday night, these powerful beings that exist, that rule our world, that rule our planet. We started talking about that first, so I would try to get you to understand, those of you that don't, that you cannot understand or fathom the wickedness of man. I mean, yeah, people shoot each other and lie and kill and steal, but there's some people that don't want you dead. They want you alive, but they want your soul. Can you fathom that? Oh, you can fathom somebody shooting you and somebody dying. Oh, you know, the funeral and all that, and that's serious. What about people that say, nah, we don't want them dead. We just want their spirit, their mind, their body. We want their soul. Can you fathom that? Can you fathom rich, wealthy people sitting around talking about wars like it's gathering people together for a picnic? I mean, they're talking about what the casualty going to be, and they're talking about millions of lives like it ain't nothing because they want to go in and take oil. Can you fathom people blowing up two tall buildings just to turn around and blame it on the Muslims and get their nation all wrapped up and upset to where their nation would approve anything they do to bring the perpetrators to justice when the perpetrators are themselves? You can't fathom that. I know I can't. I don't have friends like that. Even my enemies don't think on that level. Can you fathom that? Folks, tonight, let me just go ahead and read the subject. We always like to read the description of the show to make sure we stay on point. So this is what I wrote. I said, subject, Brother Joseph Johnson will be our guest, a frequent listener of New World Order Watch Society. Again, we're changing the name. This brother has really informed the listeners when he has called the show in the past, and that is so true, as many of you remember when he has called. He was incarcerated for 15 years at Greenville Correctional Center in Virginia. He has serious experience in the prison system you simply can't miss hearing about. That's very relevant to the show. In prison, he studied in depth, the New World Order for many years and is a voice you will begin to hear about in many circles to come. Okay, then I went on to say that you will be surprised to hear how he got his information and his source of knowledge when he was in prison. Now, that right there is going to floor you. If nothing else, you're not going to believe how this brother got his information. This is a blog where we come together to discuss current, future, and past events to shed light on Bible prophecy from a Hebraic prophetic standpoint. We are talking about the true Hebrews, okay? I will bring on guests a lot, like I'm doing tonight, okay? The show is so important that we need to know how to look at things. We belong to an entirely different kingdom, those of us that belong to the kingdom of the Most High. That kingdom isn't just coming, but it's here, and I will say it's coming even more. It will be a physical kingdom that will rule this earth one day, folks. This earth will not be utterly destroyed. It will be restored. Okay? We need to know our part in the complete restoration of this planet. We will deal with subjects like, and then I name all the different subjects we will deal with. We talk about things like HAARP, imperialism, CIA, Federal Reserve, Iraq, rap culture, Iran, African issues, African American issues, IMF, World Health Organization, the World Bank, Structure Adjustment Program, better known as SAP. That's some serious stuff right there. One day we're going to get into that. Weather warfare. Are you aware that the weather can be manipulated as warfare? This ain't no conspiracy theorist kind of mess. This is bona fide congressional hearings, proof of congressional hearings where they're begging the nations of the world, please do not engage in weather warfare. Why would they beg the nations of the world not to do that if they couldn't do it? We also talk about Planned Parenthood, fake church, a false church. Did y'all know there's a false church? It looks like the church, smell like the church, walk like the church, but it's not the church. Fake prosperity message in church. There is a real prosperity. The Most High definitely want us prosperous. But do we want us all millionaires? We'll talk about Babylon. Who is Babylon? Where is Babylon? Biblically speaking, if I can talk tonight, who is Babylon? Armageddon. Our shows are 100% for the restoration of this planet by the kingdom of Yahweh. And let me also add this. Folks, we don't advocate violence in any way to the so-called people of Israel. We do not acknowledge Israel as the true, authentic, natural bloodline Jews or Israelites. Absolutely not. But we love those people. This show advocates love for humanity. And nobody on this planet have convinced me that they are worth me hating. Not one. I haven't found nobody that intelligently wicked enough that I should call Satan or evil spirits. No, we wrestle against spiritual wickedness in high places, according to Ephesians 6. We at this show, Five Smooth Stones, your brother Seth, I'm your host, your brother Seth, and I'm telling you, none of my guests, I talk about this before they come on, acknowledge the white man as the devil, acknowledge the black man as the devil, acknowledge the Chinese as the devil. The devil is the devil. We have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and Satan. The world, the flesh, and Satan. That's it, folks. Those are the enemies. The world, what the world does, flesh, and Satan. Ignorance is our enemy, okay? Ideologies, some of them are our enemies, such as white supremacy or black inferiority, okay? We don't, that's what we try to do here. So anyway, let me go right ahead. Now, we operate on a new system, so y'all have got to bear with me. I've got the brother on the line, and I'm hoping he can come through because this is a brand-new system, and I really don't like it. But I thought I would give it a try tonight. I probably should have tried it some other time. But let me see if I can go ahead and open up the lines, and let's see if it'll work here. Okay, Brother Joseph Johnson, are you on the line?
Peace, peace, Brother Seth. Peace, peace.
Okay, there you go. All right, my brother. Let me turn you up just a little bit. I'm so glad this system is working. Hopefully it worked the rest of the night. I got a few complaints about it already, but we got this new system. As you know, Blog Talk have a new, well, you may not know it, but because it's a brand new system, I thought I'd try it out tonight. But anyway, welcome, my brother. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Five Smooth Stones. I'm so glad you chose to spend time with us tonight. I've been talking to you, talking about you to people, and so I'm just glad you're on. And I'm not going to further delay the time. I'm going to go ahead and let you just say hi and just tell everybody a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get off into some more serious questions. But I'm sure people would like to know who are you. I've already let them know that you spent 15 years of your life incarcerated. Obviously, you're older than 15 years, so you've done a whole lot more with your life than been in prison. So I don't want to paint you as this person that's just been in prison. You've spent 15 years, and according to what you told me, you were very faithful with that time there. You sought the Most High, you prayed, you learned some things, and I mean, you've learned a lot of things.
I am impressed by what you've learned, my brother, because I know people out here with free with their freedom, and they have not studied to the depth you have. So I'm going to let you do the intro on your own. Just feel free to just share with the people what they need to know about you, maybe two or three minutes, or 4 or 5 minutes or so. And then when you're done, I'm going to go ahead with the questions, okay? So, again, everybody, this is Joseph Johnson. Again, his brother's from Virginia. And we're going to talk a little bit about tonight, this Virginia Fusion Center. But go ahead, Joseph, and let everybody know a little bit about yourself.
Okay, well, thank you, Brother Seth. Well, first of all, you know, it's not really about me. I would really, you know, bring up the areas and where, you know, the people that I have grew up under who brought me to where I'm at now. You know, I'm from Richmond and Richmond, Virginia. Where I can really, really begin to come aware of what we're looking at now before it was what it is now is that I can remember seeing my grandfather cry when I was about 5, 6 years old. And, you know, it was a strange thing seeing your granddaddy cry, you know. And
Well, hold on. Let me do this. Hold on a second, Joseph. If you don't mind, I know you're getting ready to get into it. I know your grandfather, we talked, is very influential in your life. But real quickly, if you don't mind, let me ask you some questions about, I know you said it's not about you, and you are right. It's about the Most High and what he have done through your grandfather and different people in your life. But just for the listener's sake, can I just, at least for maybe a couple of minutes, just let them know a little bit about you, because there's some things, you're a very humble brother. You don't want people to know much about you. You don't like tooting your own horn, but somebody got to toot it. So allow me to ask you a few questions about who you are, and then we get into how you learn and come to be the knowledgeable brother you are today, okay? You mind?
Okay. Thanks for that help.
So first and foremost, Joseph Johnson, all right? And you're from Richmond, Virginia, correct?
True.
And you've been there all your life.
True.
Right. Okay, now, for the record, like I mentioned, you were incarcerated, and you don't mind talking about it, just so everybody knows I'm not trying to exploit you or anything like that. This brother talked to me and told me he made some mistakes and found himself in prison and was there for 15 years, and you begin to study. Okay, now you're going to probably, I don't know, you tell me, you're probably going to talk about how your grandfather was influential in your studying and everything. But I want you to just for a minute, just for a second, if you don't mind, let's just say in 2 minutes. We won't put you on the spot too much. 2 minutes, just share a little bit about the 15 years you was incarcerated and what that did to you and what brought you to hunger and thirst for this. Maybe you was going with that with your grandfather, but it's okay now if you want to.
Yeah, I can add that later.
So what encouraged you? What inspired you? You know, the prison system is a very harsh environment to be running around thinking about the one world order, and especially meeting the kind of people you met. It's just a very different environment. Most people will just give up when they're in there. They don't want to think about secret societies and getting books sent to them and all the kind of stuff you had going on there, especially where you get the attention of the warden like you did. So tell me just a little bit about us, a little bit about the whole prison experience, and then we'll move out from there into other things.
I'm going to try. I got locked up in 1991, the last part of 1991. Make a long story short, went through the system, you know, receiving and to the system. End up catching a little petty charge on the yard. End up back in the hole. I'm bored to death. I got a little walk, man. Tired of listening to music. So I'm scanning the radio dial, and I find a Christian radio station. And, you know, this radio station was different than all the other radio stations and programs, right? And the radio station was called The Overcomer, and the host was a preacher man named Brother Stair. A lot of people might know about Brother Stair down in Walterboro, South Carolina.
Okay.
And that's how I found out about Serge Monette.
Serge Monette. Now, let everybody know who Serge Monette is. This is a key person in your life, I know.
Right,
who is
right.
Serge Monette?
Serge Monette was a French Canadian from up there in Canada, from up in the Quebec, somewhere up in the Quebec area. And he was an investigative journalist. And he was getting leaks from the United Nations. See, a lot of stuff you see going on now is what he was talking about then. You know, the NASA Blue Beam Project and the United Nations Rainbow Color Classification Code. See, all that came out with him. He the one brought that stuff out from the leaks.
Now, say his name again. I want to say his name. Serge?
Serge Monette.
S-E-R-G-E, and then Monette. Spell Monette.
M-O-N-A-S-T.
I looked that brother up last time you gave him to me, and I was impressed by his presence on the Internet. Serious brother as far as what's going on in our country. Go ahead.
And he was talking about the Blue Beam Project then, right? And so to make a long story short, I wrote down the address as it was presented to the radio listeners, right? And I end up writing them, you know, letting them know that he had I had wrote him to let him know that, you know, a serious brother, you know, had caught his interview and you know, stuff like that, you know. And went on back and forth and giving my experiences, you know.
Okay. Are you there? Okay. I knew that was going to happen. This is why I hate this new whole setup. Hopefully y'all can hear me okay, but I lost a brother. Hopefully, not only did I lose him, but I lost the other people that was on the phone line. So please call me back. Please call me back. Blog Talk, if you're listening, this really isn't cool. But I know how technology is. They rolling out this new program, but he will have him back shortly, I'm sure. So, but everybody, just in case, while he's calling back, I'm sure he know to call back. Serge Monette, S-E-R-G-E, and then Monette, M-O-N-A-S-T. I looked this brother up on the Internet that he gave me, and I was very impressed by his commitment to the country. Let's go ahead and open up again here. And everybody that was knocked off, hopefully they'll call back. They can't hear me, of course. Okay, Joseph, are you there?
Yes, I just got back. I know I was dead. Okay.
Sorry about that. You only been it just if you can rewind a little bit, and let's just keep going, man. I just, you know, that's Blog Talk for you. Go ahead.
Okay, so where did that cut off at?
Just rewind yourself about, I guess, 2-3 minutes ago. I mean, 2 or 3 minutes back. You have to repeat yourself. That's okay.
Okay, well, you know, Serge Monette sent me several boxes of information. I mean, the administration, you know, far as the CEOs and the unit manager, captain.
Why did he befriend you? Why did Serge Maness befriend you? He's the guy in the tunnel, right?
Right. He in Canada.
Right. But he served in the army, correct? Not our military, correct?
No, he was an investigative journalist.
Okay,
he was a reporter.
All right.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
He was getting leaks from the United Nations.
Okay.
See, there were that leak.
What kind of things did you learn while listening to him?
This man sent me a lot of information on, you know, how to look at the players of the game, you know, and how they get chosen, how they get picked, you know, like your NGOs, you know, your non-governmental organizations. See, that's who end up being your cabinet members, you know, and your presidential.
Joseph, let's back up something, because people are listening, probably wondering, what do you mean the game? What are you talking about the game? So you're going to have to kind of break it down a little bit more. What is the game? What was he telling you? Why did he pick you? I mean, here you are in prison. This man is a very decorated. I mean, I was just looking at some of the YouTube stuff he was talking about, and I was looking at more of some of the things he was talking about and advocating. And he is all over the net. He has been speaking out on a lot of these kinds of issues in regard to exposing the New World Order and all these things. But I want you to specifically tell everybody, what is it he liked about you? Why did he pick you? What kind of things did he say, this Serge Maness? Then I want you to talk about some of the other people you met, because they think, you know, a lot of people might be impressed that you met him and talked with him, but it's more impressive than these other folks that single you out, and talk about the ward and how he took all this, if you don't mind.
Okay. Well, one reason I believe maybe that I was in prison, you know, because like you said, I could be, you know, being your regular John Doe in the prison, but.
You remember last week we was talking and you was letting me know that your name had got around the yard as the man with all the knowledge. People in the prison would come to you when they wanted to know stuff. The entire prison population, you had become the man with the knowledge. And so, you know, you started inquiring about some things, and I guess this Serge Maness and all these other people, whose names I'm sure you call out a little later on, they started hearing, you started writing letters, or you started contacting them. And the way you talk, let them know that this guy is on to something. This guy knows something. And I think, of course, people like that are not just going to call you, befriend you, start sending you books, and even visiting you, some of them did, unless you are either a threat to what they're doing, you know something, and you are a threat, and they want to find out how you know, or they feel like you are a serious player in the game, and they want to recruit you or something like that. You just don't have people like that talking to you just because you're in prison and you decided to study Illuminati and secret society. It just don't work like that. You understand what I'm saying?
True.
So how did you get a hold of him, and why did you get a hold of him? What was the connection? What initiated the connection between y'all two?
Okay, find that the United States is the type of police state that it, you know, that is our, you know, that it is. A lot of people like Mr. Serge Maness wanted to know about people in prison that caught up in that system, you know, where is their mindset in that, you know. And, you know, we had a nice little backwards and forward, how would you call it, you know, relationship, you know, through the mail, you know, corresponding. And he's asking, you know, questions like that, you know, what the guy's doing in there, you know, what they read, you know, what they study. And just, you know, where was them guys' mindset at, you know? And, you know, I would, you know, tell them that, you know, there's a little religion in here. And I did my best to try to explain, you know, the mindset, you know, from the inside of a, you know, institution. And before I know it, now I was in the hole when I received this information.
Okay.
And I never forget it. The CEO came back there, you know, jive huffing and puffing, and somewhat excited, you know. And I'm like, you know, what's this all about? He said, man, you got everybody, man, going off, you know, today. Because, you know, whoever you know, man, done sent you several boxes of literature. You know, I'm talking about books, monograms, monograms, white papers, bibliographies, white papers, you name it, CD-ROMs and everything. This was like in 94, 95 when this man
said okay.
A couple boxes of information. And the CO said, you know, was saying that, you know, the other
now, hold on a second, Joseph. Who is the CO? Because most of us don't not familiar with prison lingo and what they do and who people are. What do you mean by CO?
COs are correctional officers.
Okay, all right. I mean, everybody probably knew that but me, but go ahead. All right.
Okay, so he was telling me what was up front in my name, you know. Several boxes of literature, and it was very interesting literature because he was saying he was even reading it, you know. Yes. And
by the way, not to cut you off, Joseph, but somebody asked if I answer questions. Yes, I do answer calls, so if you want, anybody want to call in, that's perfectly fine. Obviously, we have a host, I mean, I have a guest that I'm talking to primarily, but absolutely, it's already people called in, so you can call and just remember hit 1 if you want to ask the brother a question. Brother Joseph Johnson is who we're talking to tonight. His brother has studied the Illuminati, the secret societies, and we're starting here like we're just trying to lay a foundation, finding out who these people are, he know, how he know, why he know, what we're talking about, and then we can trust me. The more we talk, is we're building something, and after a while, you're going to be looking for a tape recorder, pencil, pen. Trust me, definitely. And I have a tendency to not believe people. That's my thing. I mean, I hear Joseph talking. I hear a lot of people talking, and I don't discount people. I don't discount people because of whether or not they speak proper English and anything like that. I listen to what they're saying, what they've been through, who they've met, and I've looked up these people. There's some other people he hadn't named yet. But I've looked up these people, because I don't know if Joseph is telling me the truth or not. I'm just being real. I mean, I got him on the line. I have no reason to lie. And on my show, I deal in truth. And so after listening to him, I got to check in my spirit that he absolutely did meet these people. But when you hear him share more and more and more, believe me, it'll give credence to this whole interview. So to the person in the chat room that said, do we answer calls? Absolutely. All right? So now back to... Go ahead and finish what you were saying, the trail you was going down. And again, people are listening, and I want you to, when you talk about the game, and let people know exactly what we're talking about. Okay, I've mentioned words like the Illuminati, the One World Government, Federal Reserve. Just kind of spell out what this brother, this Serge Maness, is about, what he wanted to share with you, what message he was trying to get out. So if you don't mind, Joseph, just kind of make a note of that, and please cover those things while you share. But go right ahead.
Okay, the brother in the chat was asking, do I have a link to Maness? I guess he was talking to you because I'm, you know, I'm not that.
No.
Brother,
do you have a link for Maness? No, but if you type in Google, Yahoo, any of the search engines, his name, S-E-R-G-E,
Space, well, not Space, but last name is M-O-N-A-S-T. Wikipedia did a pretty decent job on him. Brother, he made a lot of noise in his life. This man made a lot of noise. He's not around. He passed in 96. But you just got to listen to this brother, listen to what he shared, and then look at what Manessas stood for, and you'll see the similarities. But go right ahead, Joseph.
And see, Mr. Manessas didn't last long after receiving all that type of information and putting it out to the people. NASA Blue Beam Project, like I was saying. Well, I forgot the questions. I mean, you had put over to me where you.
No, I just want you to go ahead and keep sharing. You're doing great. Keep sharing about Manessas and how you met him. You was talking about the CO and how they was telling you about you caused some a stir in the prisons with the information. Just go ahead. You're doing fine, man. I'm gonna let you go at your own pace. Go ahead.
Okay. So, the system let me have quite much, you know, literature, information, books and stuff and all things. So after I, you know, was looking at it, studying it, and the people that I knew and, you know, had built a brotherhood relationship with, I used to pass it on to them. See what I'm saying?
Okay, let's do this. Let's do this, Joseph. Tell us a little bit about who this Serge Manessas is. Just a little bit more, if you don't mind. I know you. Just exactly who is he? What does he do? What was he trying to get out? What was his message? Obviously, he knew about the Illuminati, the secret societies, but what was his angle like? Everybody got an angle. Like, my angle is I want to show the Illuminati, the secret society, I want to show them up by comparison them with the kingdom of light, the kingdom of the Most High, in comparison with their kingdom. And I'm telling people, you know, I talk about how they look at God, how they look at what they want out of mankind, what they want, how they want us to look at money. I talk about spiritual warfare. I'm trying to shed light and let people know that these people exist. That's my angle. His angle might be to just expose specifically Federal Reserve, show every demon in Federal Reserve, the concept of Federal Reserve system, what they're doing, you know, pulling money out of thin air. He may go down that road, or he may be talking about strictly about what's about to come upon our country in terms of this economic. I mean, everybody got different angles. So what was Serge Manessas? Who was Serge Manessas? Because some people are hearing this name for the first time. They may be Googling him right now, but still, can you help him out as far as who was he? Or let's say, who was he to you?
Okay, Serge Manessas was an investigative journalist. He was a reporter. On what level, right to this day, I don't know how he managed to get linked up to this United Nations source. But somebody from the United Nations was feeding him documents and everything. And, I mean, information where they're getting ready to throw to the people. Fires, let me see. I mean, he, you know, like I said, the same thing we're seeing now is what Serge Manessas was giving us on how the United Nations will be legislating things, passing on down to Washington, or the Council on Foreign Relations, or, you know, to the other legislators of this country.
Okay. Let me ask you, you had mentioned the time warden. Remember the warden you were telling me last time we talked? And again, everybody was talking to Joseph Johnson. He's one of the listeners of Five Smooth Stones. He listens pretty regularly, and he calls in sometime and he shares. And I just want him to share some of the things and some of the people. Now, I want you to talk about some of these other people as well. You even know a Joint Chief of Staff, the military colonel. That's the guy I was initially thinking of. I knew there was somebody that was high-ranking official in the military. I knew I wasn't dreaming. And I want you to talk about him as Al Cooper. Let's talk a little bit about this Serge Manessas, and then I want you to talk about Al Cooper and some of these other people that
that you've met in prison that actually come there to see you, and the people you've met over the phone or however you met them. But right now, let's finish up with the Serge Maness guy. Let's also talk about the warden when he, you know, how you kind of got them all concerned about some of the information you was talking about and so forth.
Yes, well, I remember one morning, the warden, the unit manager, the captain, all the big wigs. I don't know if they was coming back there, you know, to check me out or what, you know, but they played it off. They, you know, they walked through the jail tiers, you know. But I never seen them come back there like that, you know. And the CO, the prison guard, was saying, you know, that what came to my mind, like, man, you got a lot of people thinking, man, because you know, the system never had anybody to send that much type of literature to one person, you know.
Now, the guys in the prison, what were you sharing with them? I mean, why did they call you the man with information? Now, you were saying that it wasn't just that one prison, but you know how they sometimes move you around, that when you would go to other prisons, they all knew before you, you know, you was talking about how your name was there. So, I mean, if nothing else, I want people to just hear how someone can go to prison and make the kind of friendships you made with these people, and I want you to mention these other names, and what they thought of you, how they work, how they sent you information free, paid for it themselves, and some of them got a few visits, and how I just want the people to kind of see another side of, and I know we know that there's a lot of people that come out of prison that's very brilliant. We understand that, and a lot of people that go to prison that's pretty brilliant. We understand that. I'm not trying to in any way undermine prisoners. I'm just saying it's just refreshing to hear somebody that has went there and learned. I want you to be more specific, Joseph. I know this is kind of hard and new for you. It's new for me, too, because it's not like I interview people that's been to prison every day. But I just want you to kind of let the people know exactly some of the specific beliefs you're talking about. Like they said this was going to happen to the country. They said this was going to happen to the country, and it happened. They projected this was going to happen. You know, where this can validate some of these people, you know, and they're not just journalists, but they are journalists that knew something. I mean, people were wanting to know, how do you know these people were right? What happened? What came to pass that proved them to be true prophets, if you will? So just share like you share when we're not even on the air. And don't be afraid, you know, because there's too many of us out here telling the truth, spreading some of these the things that's really going on. So we don't have to fear anybody. We can just tell it the way it is because the Most High is going to protect us. So I want you to just share as though we're on the phone. Again, there's too many out here sharing. They can't follow everybody. And unless you got a nation under your belt like President Barack Obama, then you really ain't no threat to them, no way. So,
oh, no, they ain't. It's so many people, you know, on another level, you know, that, you know, I ain't nothing but a little dust particle, you know. You know, I ain't. There's so many other people they got to deal with on that big level, you know, like a Bill Deagle or something, you know.
Right, right. You mentioned, let's just for a second take a little side road. Al Cooper, let us know who this gentleman is. A-L, and then his last name is C-U-P-P-E-T-T, Joint Chief of Staff. Talk about who he is and some of the things he talks about. We'll talk later about Mr. Maness.
Okay, Al Cooper was an action officer. He was on the Joint Chiefs of Staff on a lower level, right? Not up there with like a four-star general thing, but he was on that staff for a couple of years.
Okay, right.
And I've been trying to catch up with him for a long time because the things that he came out saying, you know, matched up with what Serge Maness was saying, and he was getting his talk. Cause see, he used to work in a Pentagon, and he was getting information, you know, like firsthand, you know. He was seeing it, you know. He was in it, you know.
Like what? Just some of the...
Say again?
Come on, give us some juicy stuff. Give us some, not juicy, I don't mean to say that, but and I just posted his website for those of you that want to know who about this brother. This is another person heavily decorated all over the internet. He has his own, he had his own movement, really. These people, that's what I'm saying. These people are not just conspiracy theorists. These people serving new armies, like the other gentleman was a journalist, and they was making a loud noise. And this is the person I was thinking about earlier when I was talking about the decorated soldier. But go ahead and tell us a little bit about who he is and what kind of things he talked about and what kind of things did he say.
Well, see, can you imagine being born blind and as times go on, you get your eyesight back? That's how this thing is, you know? When you start coming aware of what's what and who's who, you see, a lot of people think the world is being, you know, this really runs itself, you know. They get real shocked when they really see, you know, how things really being tight-knitly run. See what I'm saying?
Yep, that's the way I was.
And
that's
the thing,
that's where a lot of people are. A lot of people are just, like, for instance, the World Trade Center. Now, I've been preaching about this loose change. You've heard about the video Loose Change?
Yes, I've heard about it. Yeah.
Loose Change, L-O-O-S-E, then C-H-A-N-G-E. Loose Change, like loose change in your pocket. I had some people at work. I say, listen, those of y'all that don't believe in 911, that it was an inside job by our government, not by the good people in our government, not by everybody that you vote in office. This is a dark side of our government. These are powerful people with very long pockets, no limits to their pockets. And they, you know, it's kind of like one soldier said, everybody want to talk about freedom, but nobody want to see the bloody side that we actually see to help cause, to help make this freedom. It's not pretty what we do behind the scenes, and nobody sees that. They just see the flag blowing the wind, and the soldiers got on their uniform. Everybody's clean, but they don't see the wicked, the evil things we have to do to maintain this freedom. So, I was at work talking to a lot of men, and it could have been black people. Actually, it was a few black people. It was mostly white people. They really think I'm cuckoo, okay? Talking about the United States government blew up their own World Trade Center. And I started sharing with them different things like the movie The Long Kiss Goodnight. They said, what is the long movie, The Long Kiss Goodnight? What is it about? And I say, look at the movie. You've heard of The Long Kiss Goodnight, Joseph, right?
Nah. Uh-uh.
Oh, you got to check that out. The Long Kiss Goodnight was made before 9-1-1, but there was a scene where Samuel L. Jackson is on the ground. All you got to do is go on the internet and type in Long Kiss Goodnight, and then 911, and you'll see, they even have video clips of what I'm saying. You ain't got to listen to me. But this man is on his knees, and basically they describe what happened on 911. They describe what happened on September the 11th in the movie 911, I mean in the movie Long Kiss Goodnight. They even says, we're going to kill 3,000 people in the middle of the day, blaming the Muslim, and she says, well, what do you mean? She said, well, you're going to kill us anyway. Go ahead and tell us exactly how you're going to do this. And this man looks at her and say, boom, 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 chain reaction. In the video, Loose Change is a very well put together documentary of 911. It will make the hairs on your head stand up. Everybody that I got to watch the whole video, every single person, I've been talking about it for many years, nobody come back believing that 911 was performed by Osama bin Laden, or even Muslims for that fact. These people, it's like they go around getting eyewitness attention
eyewitness accounts, people that actually saw the plane that hit the Pentagon. And they're saying, well, it was the plane, but it didn't have any windows. And they would say, explain it. Describe the plane. And then everybody in the military kind of hold their head down because they're saying, we know what she's describing. That's a missile. It looked like a plane had wings but no windows on the plane. Of course, that's such and such and such missile. It's all kind of regular layman people saying, well, I saw it. And like the one website say, where is the Boeing? If it crashed into the Pentagon, where is the plane?
Yeah, where's the engine?
Crash a plane. But hold on, because I want to get off. You are the guest tonight, so I don't want to get off. But I tell people, look at Loose Change, when they see it, I don't glory in it, but it's this sadness that comes over them. They just can't fathom. They just can't understand or comprehend. So sometimes they come back angry and they just don't want to talk about it no more. But because you see that look in their eye, like I got that look, and you probably got that look, where the world we look at, the world we see, is not the real world.
Yeah,
I mean, we see and what we think we see, it's like two different worlds. Freedom has a cost to it. And I debate if there's even as much freedom as we think. But what I'm saying is America don't become the number one nation on the planet, militarily speaking anyway, through being an angel. You got to go and you got to kill some good people. I remember I had a friend of mine, and I'm going to go get back to what you were saying. And I want you to just give me a second here. But I remember I had a friend of mine who served in the Army, and his conscience was just eating him alive. And he said, I have to talk to somebody. So he went in and shared with me, and he was saying, I was a soldier, and I was very young, and I was very stupid. And he was saying, they recruited me into this elite group, and he was just saying, Seth, man, I didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, okay, well, it's all right. I'm just being an ear for him. And he was saying that he was so good at shooting and different other things that they did in the Army or whatever military branch he was in. He was recruited into this elite, like kind of like a Delta Force kind of thing. And he said they would get choppers, all types of night, helicopters, you know, choppers, military choppers.
Ruiz.
Yeah. He said, we would go places, and I don't know where we at. He said, I couldn't tell my wife what I was doing. I couldn't tell my mother. I couldn't tell nobody what I was doing. But he said, we had some of the best medicine around. We would get shot, and they would give us stuff to inject in us, and we would feel fine. We feel normal. We sitting up there, got our arm almost blew off, but there was a way they can patch it up and numb it, and we not even, I mean, this is in battle if they get hit. I mean, the way they would continue doing what they were doing. But he said, what we did, we was assassins. They would show us a model of the building and a model of where this person was going to be sitting or that person was going to be sitting, and we would just go in and take them out. I don't know if they was good guys. I don't know if they was bad guys, and it bothers me to this day. He said, all I was told is they were enemy of the state, and I'm supposed to trust the government. And I did trust them. And maybe they were in the other state, but sometimes I just wonder, who were these people? So I'm saying when you have a country that's number one militarily, I'm no fool. I know sometimes you got to stop good guys. You got to kill the Martin Luther Kings of the world if they're going to preach in such a way that's going to empower other nations, of course. If they're going to preach in such a way that's going to stop a war like when King started opposing the war. So I'm just saying there's a lot of things going on in our country that when the truth comes to light, people just can't handle it. They just can't handle it. But listen, let's talk a little more about this Al Cooper. Is that his last name? Correct pronunciation?
Cooper.
Let's talk a little bit more about him and who was he. We know that he was on a joint staff, not with the Pentagon, but he was a member. So go ahead and talk a little bit about what he did and his influence on you while you was in prison. And I think, didn't one of these guys come see you in prison?
He did.
He came
he
to see you. I'm sure people want to know, why in the world would Al Cooper come see you? A black man in prison, 15 years, even though you're known all over the yard and everybody's called you the information man, and that's not just at that one prison, but you told me earlier that when they were transferring to other prisons, people knew who you were. And the wardens, of course, came and you kind of got their attention. You talked about that a little bit earlier. So go ahead and just share with what some of these things that people were saying, these guys were saying to you, what they was teaching you, what did they want you to teach. You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, yeah. Well, I want really teaching. I was just passing the literature out, you know, and make sure I get it back, you know, just passing it around to those who want it. I want this passage to know anybody. I would first case a person out, and it was like a gamble thing, you know, because it ain't for everybody, you know, because I gave the literature to a young boy named Tico. I just know his nickname, from out of Norfolk, Virginia. And this was this boy had fuller energy, and he used all that energy to try to stab the COs, and he used to throw defecation on the COs and everything. So I worked my way into building a relationship with him, and he was across the hall from me, you know, in the same wing in the jail. And I passed him some literature, and he would do the knowledge to that, and write me a kite, and, you know, send me some more. You know, I like this stuff, you know. And
he wrote you a what?
He wrote me a kite. You know how prisons, you know, cons write each other kites, letters. You know, we call them kites.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't know what that means, but go ahead. I got you.
And the literature was you know, was getting a hold of, you know. He was coming into his self about the world, you know, how the world works. And he went through his little process of showing this anger, you know, because he was getting real mad. And to make a long story short, he told us that he was going to write Hillary and Bill a letter. And that boy wrote Bill and Hillary a letter. Now, he was like 20, 21 years old. He wrote them a letter. Don't you know the Secret Service came down there to see him?
What did he say in the letter?
Some real in-your-face type stuff. You see what I'm saying?
Wow.
You know, that anger, you know.
Now, you said something about somebody that killed himself or something?
Yes. After the Secret Service came to see him, he hung himself about a week later.
Why? Did anybody say why?
Because of the literature. I don't know what Secret Service said to him or what. All we know is Lil Tico was hung in his cell.
After the Secret Service came to see him?
Yes. About a week, 2 weeks later, he hung himself.
Okay. Okay, let me ask you, so what kind of information was you passing around?
About the United Nations, let me see, how the United Nations was legislating things and having people thinking that is, you know, that the Senate and Congress is passing off these laws, but the laws was coming from the United Nations. See, like Tracy Morgan that's dead, what he said about the homosexuals and everything. Kobe Bryant, every time you make something about a homosexual in the open, boom, they make you correct yourself.
So you think some of the laws that's passed through Congress is first implemented to the United Nations?
It comes from the United Nations. It's being passed down. See,
some of the laws.
What Stacey Morgan did, that was meant to harm. But see, that law is not towards the average person, you know, only a private citizen. The laws is for Christians, you know, religious organizations.
Okay, let me ask you this: now, you had mentioned Gerald Ford versus William Papp. You remember that case?
Right. This is what I wanted to say too, right? It was another video called In Plain Sight. Did you see that video?
No. I'll take that back. In Plain Sight does kind of sound. What was it about quickly, though? Go ahead and talk about that real quick.
Oh.
I want you to talk about that Gerald Ford thing. But go ahead.
Where, like the same thing you said, the people explained different than what the media was telling us, you know, that the people said they heard loud boom, 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 and stuff like that. And they were saying that, you know, that in plain sight they showed the Pentagon with a round circular hole before the top part fell down. And the people said they believed that it was rockets that did that, you know.
The Pentagon?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm telling you, they took all these people with these testimonies and they gathered, I don't know who, must have been lots of money went into producing that movie, that documentary called Loose Change. It's a free movie. Anybody can watch it on YouTube. It's free. Okay, I'm trying to find that link real quick. But anyway, it's like they took all of these testimonies and put them together in one video. They took all of the documents, and I mean, they don't play around. If it ain't no hardcore congressional-type bona fide documents, it ain't going on Loose Change. Everything was so well put together, and they put it all together, and I'm telling you, it caused a stir. I mean, for a while. I mean, I know they must have got a million people to watch this in like a week. And it's all he was talking about on there was loose chain. I finally got a chance to watch it. And like I said, everybody that will sit down and listen to that movie, you won't have a doubt in your mind that the United States government did not do that. Because we look at it like this, we needed that oil. We needed that oil, and we needed to set up a puppet regime in Iraq. People might say, and trust me, the oil is coming. Because we need us. The whole purpose of this was for, because America don't want to do like Obama's trying to do. They don't want to tap into their own barrels. Our way of life is gonna we'll go through them barrels like it ain't nothing some generations later. I mean, everything we do is oil, oil, oil. Even the shirts we wear, you know, is ran by mass production machines is producing everything. Mass production. And those machines run off, you know, of gas or oil. So anyway, we're running out of it, and so I mean, I kind of understand the argument. We need oil for sure, but you don't go and steal like that and cause something, kill your own type, your own kind, and then turn around and blame it on the Muslim, and they got this whole fake war on terror. You got to look at Loose Change if you don't do nothing else. I'm not just talking to everybody. But and I do see the movie InPlainSight.org, InPlainSight.org. But I want you to talk a little bit about this Al Cooper Moore. Please talk more about him, because again, you—I don't think you're being shy or nothing—but you went into some serious stuff and talking to me. I want to hear more about what they believe, what they taught, what they stood for, what they tried to tell you. What did they want you to teach in the prisons? What did you learn from them? Things like that. We want the people listening to understand that what they see and what they trust might not be reality at all. Go right ahead.
Now, see, Al Cooper was the same type of person, you know, who was blind, you know, who regained their eyesight and
talking about
blew their
knowledge.
Head.
Yeah. Now, he came to visit you, right?
Right. Right.
What was that all about?
Well, see, because I wrote him. And I was telling, you know, conveying to him, you know, that I was well familiar with him, and I knew about him about a year or two before I could, you know, get his address so I could write him. And I was telling him about Serge Maness and how his information and Serge Maness information coincide with the same identical stuff. Well, see, Al Cooper was getting his information from all the the Pentagon firsthand. You know, he was seeing fist fights, you know, in the Pentagon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because, see, you got people that's on the other side of the New World Order, and you got people that's for the Republic of the United States of America. And they know each other. They know who's who and what side they're playing. And Mr. Cubbett said, you could see a fist fight, you know, like, you know, you would think you were in prison. Yeah.
In the Pentagon, in those offices and so forth.
Yes, yes. He said they became known in that.
Go ahead.
And that's the same way it is in the CIA, and it's a split. You got some for the Republic, and you got some for the overthrow of the Republic. So
now, wasn't he explaining to you about William Ford and the case, William Pabst, P-A-B-S-T? I was trying to read up on that, but I had to run and take care of it, and didn't get a chance to kind of understand that. You was trying to explain that to me last we talked.
Okay. Well, see, this is another thing you can do. You can go to the federal courthouse, you know, because you got the docket numbers. Did you see the docket numbers, the federal docket numbers, the case numbers and everything?
Well, yeah.
You can go to the federal courthouse and read the whole case and see the way he presented his case. He did
Who
a beautiful job. Who, William Pabst?
Okay. Now, what is this about? Because people are listening, and they don't know jack about what we're talking about. So what is this case about?
Okay, he sued Gerald Ford and the federal government.
President Gerald Ford?
Yes.
And the federal government for what reason?
Behind concentration camps. Concentration camps and other holding facilities. And to make a long story short, the judge told him, to sir, you presented well documented information, but I cannot decide on this case because there hasn't been any physical harm. So
there what?
He said, I cannot prosecute this case or make a decision on this case because there hasn't been any harm to anybody. This is what the judge told Mr. Pabst. He said, I can't make a decision on your behalf because no one has been harmed because no one was in the camps. Because, see, if you look at what the Nazi organization, they built them concentration camps several years before they put anybody in them.
So this gentleman was one of the early voices speaking out about the reality of concentration camps in the United States.
Yes, yes.
And they basically just didn't do anything about it.
No, they couldn't do anything about it because no crime was inflicted on anybody because weren't nobody in the camps. They were just built, you know.
So he had proof that they was built, and he was showing documentaries about them being built. And so the guy said, "You did a good job as far as your presentation." But basically, now was the president involved at all? I mean, was Gerald Ford, did he ever come to court or did he ever make it to Congress or anything like
No. He had, it was like, you know, other government people represented the case. But you had, he put his name as, you know, the person, you know, that I'm how can I say it's like when you file in a suit, you let's say if I'm a sue the prison system, I got to sue the governor.
Okay,
you know
I see.
It's the way that, you know, the legal stuff works, you know. So he put drill.
Now, so I guess one of these gentlemen, who was it that introduced that to you? This William Peps and was it Al Cuppert?
No, this was in the information that Serge Manesse gave me.
Okay. So now you was passing this out at the prison. What did some of the prisoners think of it? I mean, what was the consensus of what they thought? Now, you said a lot of people, you had a reputation in the prison where everybody would come to you when they wanted to know information. How did those people take you, though? I mean, what did they, you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say, how did the prisoners overall, was a lot of them studying? Here's a better question.
Well, see, the information was, how would I say, too mature for some people. Some people just couldn't get it, you know. And some people did, you know. And it was this white boy that I passed some literature on to, you know. I cased him out.
White boy. Now, wait a second. Let's keep everything intact.
Caucasian. I passed some information on to a Caucasian fellow. And
the Caucasians looked up to you as an information man as well as the blacks?
Well, see, I approached him. It was different people that I would approach, you know, and I would pass them something to study.
Okay, and
So this particular time, I approached him, make a long story short, I approached him, and he was talking this big boy patriotic talk, you know, and I'm like, man, you know, where you been, you know? You know, you better get with the program, you know, your government and thing done, you know, done betrayed you, you know? You know? And I said, before you go in your cell, stop by my cell, I'm gonna have something for you. Because he was a cell house worker in the jail, you know. When the food come around, he helped the prison guards pass the food out and collect the trays. He did that type work, then go back in the cell. You got me?
Right.
So I passed him some literature before he went in the cell. And I didn't hear nothing from him for like 2 weeks, you know. And he sent me a kite, a little letter, saying, send me some more of that treasonous information. So when go ahead.
No, he said send me some more of that treason?
Treasonous information.
Okay, go ahead. Okay.
So I went back into my little stack, pulled some nice stuff out, and sent it to him. And I didn't hear any more from him. The next thing I heard, he was in a cell downstairs. You know, he was on the first floor, I was on the second floor, you know, in the same tier. So next thing I knew, the prison guards was hollering and screaming, open the door, you know, open his door. He hung himself, killed himself.
Wait a minute. That's the second guy.
That's the second time.
So you had the one little black kid that killed himself when the CIA came to see him in prison.
Yes.
Now, did the CIA come see this white gentleman?
Well, I don't know. I can't speak on that. I don't know. Because, see, I didn't know him. I know little Tico, you know, because the prison I was in, it was one of the biggest, no, not one of the biggest, it was the biggest prison in the state of Virginia, you know. It had three prisons within one on the same grounds, you know.
Wow.
Like 5,000 heads on it, you know.
Wow.
So they transferred me from one jail to the other jail, you know.
After he hung himself, did he have anything to do with him hanging himself?
Yeah, the literature did.
I
I mean, is that why they moved to a different cell?
No, no. See, I was in one jail. I was in another jail. And
I got
transferred to another part of the jail. Yeah.
Wow. Now, was this white guy recruiting people, letting them know, you know, passing on information?
Oh, no, because I didn't really know him. You know, I didn't really know him no more than him coming out of his cell to mop and sweep, pass out the trays and pay, you know, collect the trays back. I used to kick it with him, you know, when he come out, you know. And I used to, you know, I used to tell him about how, you know, the United States has been taken over.
Amen to that. It definitely has been taken over a long time ago. Long time ago. Let me ask you this. This Mr. Cupid that visited you, specifically, how did it go when he first came and saw you? I mean, I'm still tripping over this man's statue, that he would take the time out of his day, come see you, knowing that him coming to prison could set off all kind of alarms, first of all. What did he come? Was he trying to recruit? I mean, I'm still a little puzzled about that. I'm sure a lot of people listening are too. So, again, tell me how it was when he first came. What was his first words to you and so forth?
He spoke, like any other person would, you know, greet themselves, you know. You know, he called me by my name. Hey, Brother Joseph, you know, stuff like that. Now, he wasn't on my visiting list now. See, he got a badge where he can go anywhere in his country. You know, any high security place, he can go in there. You know.
Let me ask you this.
He's an action officer.
How do you know he didn't come see you to make sure you weren't some rebel? Was he asking you a lot of questions like, what are you doing and what friends you got? And I mean, how do you know he didn't come to see you to case you out to make sure you're not some terrorist that's going to be released shortly? And I mean, you know.
No, it won't on them grounds. We was talking about how these people setting up shop. Because he into the same thing that I was into. You know, remember I had gave you the knowledge of the leopard in the book of Daniels and the book of Revelations, the leopard.
Okay. Brief me on it real quick.
Okay. The nature of that leopard, he don't run his prey down like all the other big cats. He stalks his prey. He get in that high brush and he stalks. And when he leaps, he gets his mane. See what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's the unique.
So he was liking that to what part of the government?
No, I was. See, what Al Cupid does is he watch military movement around the country.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying? Remember I told you that Gerald Ford, if you go back and look at his federal register, and look at all the executive orders and presidential directives that he signed off on and treaties that, you know, that he might have signed off on, you will see that he handed the military, all branches of the military, over to the United Nations.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, say that again?
No, I didn't know that one.
Yes, yes. And when Bill Clinton came, he put exactly order on the books to close all the military bases. Now let me tell you this: it was a shipload of a container full of guillotines with on one of them big ships, a case of guillotines fell off a crane, and the guys was looking at it, wondering what it was, right? So it caught their attention, their curiosity. So they went and carried the package, you know, to a, you know, little quiet spot to put this thing together, they looking at a guillotine. So they put the stuff all back together, put it back where the rest of the stuff at, and they put a surveillance on it to see where it was going. Do you know where all them guillotines was going? That's a military base.
Hold on. What is guillotine?
Guillotine, you know, the French guillotine, where they put your neck up underneath of the blade.
Okay. Where was all of them going?
They was going to military bases. Remember Bill Clinton signed the executive order, PDD 25, I think it was. See, that was the capstone. That was the capstone to what the Kennedy guy had signed off on.
Okay.
And this is another thing. What I was gonna say. I done lost my train of thought on this one here. Oh, well, I can say this. Do you remember when two Chinese battleships came in the deep sea seaport in Long Beach, California?
No, not really.
In 1997. And those white people in Long Beach went off. That was something that never happened in the history of the country. It's to see a foreign government military battleships come in their water. But my train of thought came to me. You know what got Ronald Reagan his two terms in the White House?
No.
The Genocide Convention Treaty. See, he signed off on a treaty where the United States and the United Nations, they was in a treaty. He signed off on the Genocide Convention Treaty. And that's the nail in the coffin, because ever since the creation of the United Nations been trying to get every president to sign off on it. Yes. Everybody, you know, it was war time. Every time it come up for this treaty to be signed off on, the American people react very, not the American people, the American government, you know, lawyers and everything. You know, that was a very important treaty there. And Ronald Reagan signed off on it. He signed the death of the people off that doing that one right there. That was a treaty he made with the United Nations. And see, death was got the country, how would you say it, selling the country out. Because see, how can you make a treaty with an institution that's not on their own sovereign land? United Nations standing on the United States land, you know. So it's real bogus, you know. But Ronald Reagan did that. That was the death of America when he did that.
Let me ask you this. What other people have you come across that sought you out to educate you or to learn from you along the statuses of, the Serge Maness, this Canadian journalist that took you on his wings, and this Al Kupper that got to visit you in prison? I mean, what other people, you know, that you spark their interest, or they send you literature, or they talk to you via the mail while you was in prison, or anybody else that you want to mention?
Oh, it was a whole bunch of people. You know Tex Miles, your homeboy?
No. What are you saying? Say his name again.
Tex Miles.
Spell that.
Tex, you know, Tex.
Like T-E-X, right, and then what is their last name?
M-A-R-R.
I don't think I know that person.
Yes, everybody know Tex Miles, you know. He got a new book out now about the six-pointed star, and he write a lot of stuff about Zionism.
Oh, the prophecy guy. It's T-E-X-E. Texi. I got you. Yeah, power.
Yeah.
Okay. So what? How did you run into him? And was the prophecy guy? What did y'all have to share about?
Well, when you write a person and let them know where your mind is, then they add on and send you information. See, being that I was in prison, it was like charity to me. He showed charity, sent me some newsletters and a couple of books.
Now, what did he think about your perspective of the United States, sir? I mean, you ain't talking from no right-wing, pro-Israel standpoint now. What did he have to say about that?
We was on the same page because he said the same thing that you say, that those people over in Israel is not the people of the book.
I didn't know Tex Mars said that. I haven't. To be very honest with you, this guy I've heard very little about. And with you saying his name again, I'm literally Googling him right now, Tex Mars. I see his website, TexMars.com, Tex Mars. I know a lot of guys that talk, the prophets are Hal Lindsey, Hilton Sutton, John Van Ampe. But I just put his name in the chat room for those of you that want to check him out. But I didn't know about this guy. So he don't believe the people in Israel are the true Israelites. That's good. That's a point for him.
Yeah. And
what did he have to say about you, though? What specifically did he have to say to you? Now, I know how ministries will send you stuff. They send everybody stuff. But, I mean, what this is, I'm talking about people that you had a one-on-one relationship with via, it can be by mail or phone or visit. I mean, I just want to see, just getting a feel for. You're welcome.
See,
I was one of the gentlemen.
Most of all, see, them people be very impressed, when a person from prison, writes them and let them know where their mindset is, you study their material and stuff, They'd be very impressed because, like I said, they want to know the mindset of the people in the prisons. They know what the United States did far as making and turning the United States into a police state and, as building all these prisons, Like Al Cupid, he was being an action officer. He can go anywhere he want at any time. He can kick the door down and come on up in there. He came out, and it was in like 98. He was saying that they had built 28 regional prisons in the in the state of Virginia within 5 years. That's a lot of prisons.
Let me ask you this now. Since you live in Virginia, it's ironic. I talked about 2 weeks ago, and last week I talked about the Virginia Fusion Center. Now, what do you know about the Virginia Fusion Center? For those of you who don't know who the Fusion Center is, it's basically a command post, to be very honest, to Cardinal Alex Jones. That's him talking. But it really does look like a command center. It's full of big screens and high tech. It's like Big Brother, the center for Big Brother. I don't know how many years ago when the United States asked for 100,000 spies. They literally asked for, Homeland Security asked for 100,000 spies. Everybody, some people remember it, but a lot of people just forgot about it because they only did it like for a couple of days and you heard no more about it. But I remember for a minute everybody was talking about why do they want spies, but they want people to spy on their neighbors, and they were looking for 100,000 volunteers to come forward to the Homeland Security and report basically saying they would help. And of course, know what it ended up being because most blacks were not interested in that, and they probably got nothing more than, and it's not to say all white people are bad or the enemy or anything like that, but these fusion centers are targeting a lot of African Americans. The Virginia Fusion Center, I'm going to put this on the chat room as well, and you can check this out, Mr. I Am Pick. He keeps getting bumped off. But I want to put this real quick on there for those that wasn't with me a few days ago where I talked about this. And y'all can see the Virginia Fusion Center literally saying in no uncertain terms that they are watching a white supremacist organization, KKK, lots of white supremacist organization, militant groups, but also the Nation of Islam, 5%ers, and, yes, the Hebrew Israelites. That flipped me out. And thank you, Victim to Victorious, last week. I think you were the one that actually gave me this link, because I'm serious. They had shut that one website down, so I really appreciate you giving me this link again. But I'm going to post it here in a second, and y'all can check it out. Those of y'all that's listening in the archives, I'm going to put it in the – I'll just go ahead and put it in the show's description. But go ahead. What is your take on the Fusion Center, Joseph?
Well, the Fusion – you see it there?
Yeah, repeat it again.
Oh, my battery on my cell phone running. I got to plug my cell phone up. Hold up for 1 second.
Go right ahead. And while he's plugging that up, folks, check out the show's description. I'm going to go ahead now and put this Fusion Center link in. So if y'all want to check this out, you can do it. Just look at the show's description. And at the bottom, I'm going to put
okay, I'm back.
This link to the Fusion Center, okay? So it'll be done here in about another minute. But go ahead quickly. We got like 4 minutes, and I would like to know, what do you think of the Fusion Center, Virginia Fusion Center?
Well, the Fusion Center is where
you live in Virginia. Is it real? I mean, are they practicing on that document that's on the internet? It looked like a bona fide governmental document.
Yes, look. They doing military activity. I think it's in Western Virginia, West Virginia, Ohio, somewhere, you know, all up and down that Midwest. Is they having, you know, a lot of military activities, you know. Now, see, that's why I gave the example of that leopard. See, they moving like the leopard around the United States. Setting up, so when they jump, can't nobody escape and get away. So that's the nature of the military. They are. They have the attributes of a leopard. They stalking. Now the command centers where you was talking about, CDs, computer-like machines, like when the paper come out and it hits the, you know, it be correlating itself when it hit the ground. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, right. Go ahead.
Huh? Well, see,
I know what you're talking about. Go ahead. And we got
right.
90 seconds. I want you to – let me just say this real quick, because in about 90 seconds we're going to lose the people that's listening on the internet. We're probably going to go another 5 more minutes over the time. So if y'all want to keep listening, we may go about 10 minutes over the time. And then we'll end out with a song. So those of you that want to keep listening, please call the line, and because we're going to lose you if you're listening on the internet. I do want to thank you all for listening, those of you that's going to leave at that time. But we will stay another 10 minutes. I want him to finish. As you see, he's getting warmed up. Joseph is getting warmed up, and I want him to empty out what he's saying. And maybe more than 10 minutes. So, again, call the number. And thank you all for listening. Don't forget to check me out. Us out on Tuesday. I mean, on this Saturday. This Saturday, we've changed the Federation of International Israelites, where we talk about uniting as the true Israelites. Is what happened at 11 a.m. And then on 3:30 on Sunday, we talk about proof of us being Israel. But go ahead, Joseph. Go right ahead.
See, they got dossiers on everybody in this country. They go back to what Serge Ness came out with the United Nations. Rainbow Color Classification Code with the red list, blue list, and see, black people, they got a black list. They got a black dot behind their name, and that's for extermination. But back to the Fusion Center, that's where all the warrants going to be coming out. As they be coming out of the machine, they can be turning them off, getting them to these people, and they can become picking the people up. And all the cameras that's out, that's who's going to be, you know, behind the screen monitoring the people, you know. Say like you at a red light and your name is for pickup. See, that camera can key in on your license plate and they can key, it's a system, something like that set up, you know. It's well put together real nice. Yeah.
So let me ask you this. I want you to just kind of go ahead and empty out whatever else you were saying, because you begin to get into what I was talking about, the meat of this now. I'm going to let you just go without interrupting you for 10 minutes. I want you to share what you have to say to all the listeners. What is the solution? What are these people trying to do? I want you to spend about 5 more minutes talking about different more things they're trying to do under our nose, and then try to wrap it up maybe 5 minutes or however long it takes for what you think is a solution, is because we've got to have a solution. People are listening, and they probably taking some of the things you're saying in, others that they're probably blowing off. But if you write about any of this, we're in trouble. If you write about any of this, we're in trouble.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
And hope for the people the last 5 minutes, then we'll end up with a song. We'll end up with a song.
Well, see, the best thing I could tell the people is try to balance their fears, you know, work some kind of relationship out with their God, and just knuckle down and try to do it like Job did it, you know, because we're going to have to do this thing like Job. They're coming hard.
Why do you think they're coming?
You said it earlier. Ezekiel chapter 33, it says something like, tell the children of thy people. Tell the children of thy people what's to come. That's that warning, chapter 33 in Ezekiel. Tell them about that warning, you know. What's to come is that thing Ronald Reagan signed off on, the Genocide Convention Treaty. He gave the go-ahead when he signed that treaty with the United Nations. So why they would want to kill you, I guess because we've God's property, you know.
When you say God's property, what do you mean?
God's people. You're standing for truth, you know. But see, black people don't have nothing to do with the New World Order. They're not going to play their part in it. By the time they bring in the New World Order, they hope to have all black people dead. I seriously, because see, like I told you about the United Nations Rainbow Color Classification Code, you got the red list and the blue list. If you own them, that's death to you, you know. But black people, if you got that black list, you is really, really in trouble. So they specifically single black people out. All black people got is a black list beside their name. The Rainbow Color Classification Code.
Yeah. Now that was a trip when I looked that up. That was a trip. Now who taught you about that one?
Serge Maness, Al Cuppy. Because, see,
that's strong stuff right there.
Because, see, that what woke Al Cuppy up. He came across the list. He saw a list. It was, he said when he saw the list, it was like over 30,000 names on the list. See, names be added on to the list as days go by. You know, and the list has people by regions, by zip codes. And he said he saw people names on it that he knew, you know. Other FBI people, you know. That what shook a lot of people up. The list got leaked out and exposed.
Okay, let me ask
they,
you. Go ahead. Finish your thought.
But they're going to be people like your political leaders, your religious leaders, people that's out there, you know, bring about awareness. Their name is in a dossier for pickup. And I think you ought to do a network where have people on the lookout that, you know, is, you know, when they on the road, look out for military convoys. You know, caravans. Because, see, it's been people have been seeing caravans or vans, you know, and Al Cupid said he ride around in Crown Victorias. You know, they out there amongst us, you know.
Huh.
Yes.
Now,
they
let
move
me ask
around.
Let me ask you this, because we are over time here, and I want to be sensitive, because I know people want to hear everything, and I don't want to hold us too late. Maybe we'll do a part two next week. We'll talk about that. But let me ask you this. If somebody said, well, I don't know if I can believe you or not. Hold on. Share with them where can they go to read up further on this. What's some good sources to read to follow up what you're saying? What websites do you recommend? Just spit out some books, websites, magazines at this time, please.
Well, they should go to Al Cupid. Well, see, and see, Al Cupid, he pro-Israel, but I don't pay that part no mind. I look at the information that he's looking at this leper stalks America, because I think that, you know, it's a lot of names on a dossier for pickup.
Okay.
And see, go to his little giddy up and just track his name and see what all the interviews he done did, you know. But just track
and
him.
And he has done a lot. This man is well represented on the internet, for real.
Yeah. He speaks several languages and everything, you know. You know, people can ignore reality all they want, but they can't ignore the consequences of reality when they come at you. You know, it's on them, you know. I did my
okay,
part.
Well,
I had to pay. Yes.
Well, listen. I just again want to thank you, man, for coming on. I'm going to wrap this up. But, again, the fact that you spend that much time of your years behind bars is impressive to me. I don't know about anybody else. It's very impressive to me that you would take the time out to spend. And I'm sure that's what Mr. Maness and Mr. Cupper and the other gentleman, I forgot his name, and the other gentleman, I forgot their name, but there's several people, all of the people that have supported you over the years, even when you got out of prison, the visits you had, and all the stuff that even you didn't share, man, I wish the people could have heard. That's why this is a part two. But I just think it's impressive. I mean, I know people that's been free, like I said, college degrees, and they won't, not only do they not know what you're saying, but they think you're crazy. And they totally blind. So you should just continue to study, seek the Most High more than anything, and seek His will for your life in terms of where to go with it. Because obviously you got something. I mean, He wants us to open up the eyes of His people, because if you're blind, it ain't just like you're just blind and ignorant of bliss. You are strengthening, giving power to the kingdom of darkness, these wicked people that is trying to plot humanity's slavery, that's trying to enslave humanity and try to further their kingdom and their greed and their demonic, satanic worship is really what it's all about. And we'll get into that in another day, the evil side of this and who they really serve. But Joseph Johnson, thank you, man. And we'll probably, folks, do a part two. We'll probably do a part two of this, and I will get with him, and we'll be more specific on try to get more information out there in a timely manner. He's new to this, and I'm not that not new to this. I mean, I'm pretty new to this, too, so we're just trying to pull information out of him, and we'll just be more successful with that next time. But I think y'all have heard enough and heard enough names. These people he talked about are very serious about blowing the whistle, and they are not quiet on this Internet as far as what they're trying to say about the government and what is going to happen in the future. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, Joseph, thank you for stopping by, man. I'm going to go ahead and go out with this song. Do you have any other last words? And then I'm going to go ahead and open up with this song. Close out with this song.
I just want to tell people, you know, however your mindset is, it's on you, because it's going to happen within these next couple of months. You will see something happen.
I believe it, though. I know 2012 definitely has something in it, and at some point it's got to start this year. So I think something is coming too very shortly as well, because 2012, I've never seen a time in my life where all of the prophets, not all of them, but lots of them, have something to say about 2012. They all predict the fall, the collapse of the U.S. economy. The economists are predicting it. I mean, we're talking about Harvard, Yale, MIT, all of the brightest minds of our time and the brightest ministers of our times are on the same page. That is scary. Folks, we're going to go out with this. Again, thank y'all for listening. And again, thank you, Joseph. So we'll talk to you next time, and I want to go out with this song.
Peace.
Peace.
It says in our human disease, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and ones that were thou to bind on earth to be bound in heaven, and ones that were thou to loose on earth to be loose in heaven. In other words, God was telling us that we had to bind Satan, but Satan is not by himself. And many times we only say, Satan, I bind you, but we must now say, Satan, I bind you, I bind your angelic race, and I bind your demon spirit. And where do we bind them up at? We bind them from where there's a gate. We bind them in the heavenly, the upper realm, the underworld, and the under seas in the name of Jesus Christ.
See, you dealing with a born-again believer, but King James reader, when they come to put in work, I got more spots than a zebra. Caesar, demon, murderer in progress. I'm creeping up on him, so like his name was Cyrus, and I put you up in where he digest. White stress, I guess, put it down on sight, so I guess you can't deal with the fear, let alone the skill. Let me get this off of my chest. Why, yes, I'm just a spiritual caterpillar, life healer, blood spiller, to make you blunt, a straight demon killer. The other day I had a dream, it seemed that I was crowned the king, given the kingdom and the black queen, but I told the kingdom bye, and I kissed the queen goodbye, cause I'm about to fall up in the ghetto when the demons die. See, I don't have no love for demons, and they don't love me, so I rest my case again, and I put it down constantly. Take the authority over the strong man, when I'm on fire, mounting him. He's always on my mind, and I'm going to sleep, and I'm dreaming of finding him. Always I gaze of breaking darkness in a hundred ways. Good take my soul like I'm on fast and pray a hundred days. And then your wrist like a gorilla, bleeding the blood over your killer. It's a sanctified blood war, demon killer, killer. Valley of the shadows of my neighborhood, I fear no evil. And yeah, you know I walk through the valley of the shadows of my neighborhood, I fear no evil. I'm most shy to get your hands. I got the blood of Christ, so they can prevail. I hear them talking, they don't know I'm stalking. They feel the lead more dead, struggles than they go ahead. N-I-V-S-T-R-A-P-P-E-D, N-M-I-H-A-N-D-C-R-E-E-P with me.
of the shadows of my neighborhood. I feel so evil.
Hallelujah.